You're listening to another great Torah class, recorded by TorahAnytime.com.
Good evening, everybody. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Lil Shishi, Parshas Shlach. Good to see everybody here. And we are, looks like today we have started the actual summer season. Finally, we have a hot day, but it's warm in the Beis Medrash, and hopefully we'll be able to say some nice things about the parasha. First of all, Paisim Echvei Nachsanya. This is the Beis Medrash of Rav Olbam Shlita. Baruch Hashem, we're zeichet to hear much Torah from him. And Megalgulin Schusai Dezaker, Rav Avram Kesherim, who is not here tonight, who is Miyasa Di Shiurim, and B'Schusai we come. Rav Avram only just got in touch with me not so long ago to give this year, and it's very hard to say no to Rav Avram. So, right?
Yes.
You can't say no to Rav Avram Kesherim. So he does so much. We want to thank him for everything, and b'zchuto, we want to wish him a mazel tov on the engagement of his son. Let's get into it. Thank you very much, Rav Yaakov.
Sorry.
Okay. So much to talk about in this week's parasha. It says, "Eile shemoisa anashim asher shalach Moshe l'sur saaretz yud gimel tezayin ayikra Moshe liyashua ben Nun Yeshua." Moshe Rabbeinu, he renamed Moshe ben Nun. He named him Yehoshua. So Rashi tells us, famous Rashi. Rashi says, why did he name him Yeshua? Why did he add on the hey? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save him from the council of the Meraglim. He should not fall in. We know famously that Kalev went to Chevron to be mispalled by the Avos in order that he shouldn't fall into the Eitzah of the Meraglim. So the famous Kasha, everybody wants to know, is why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu, why is it that he davened for Yeshua? Not only did he daven for Yeshua, but he added on a name, but he did not daven for Kalev. What was it about Yeshua that Moshe Rabbeinu had to daven for him and not daven for Kalev? So there's a number of tirutzim. One tirutz you could say, that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's Talmud was Yeshua. The Gemara tells us in Brachas, Daf Yizayin Mabez, that a Rebbe has a tefillah, Shalei Yelanu Ben a Talmud Shemachdiach Tavshilei Berabim. We don't want that every father, every Rebbe has a tefillah that their children should not Machdiach Tavshilei Berabim. That their challenge should not get spoiled in public. What does that mean? That means that the Talmud is an extension of the Rebbe. But not only is it an extension of the Rebbe, but the Rebbe feels for the Talmud. He feels for the son. He feels for the... So therefore, since whatever happens to the Talmud, he takes to heart. It is a reflection of him. Someone that he's put kaychas into. So Moshe Rabbeinu had, so to speak, a vested interest, if we could even say such a word. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make sure that Yeshua would reflect the values that he had been taught. Another teretz one can give is that Moshe Rabbeinu was the, what does the Mishnah tell us? Moshe kibol Torah miSinai, u'masar liYeshua, v'shul l'zkenim, zkenim l'ashkenaz zagdelu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel the Torah from Sinai. He gave it to Yeshua, and the Rambam says in Akdama, "Uli Yeshua shu talmidil shal Moshe Rabbeinu maser Torah shal bal peh mitzivahu aleha." That Moshe Rabbeinu gave Yeshua the Torah shal bal peh, and he was mitzave it to him. Therefore, since Moshe Rabbeinu knew that in the future Yeshua is going to be the one that's going to give over the Torah, not only did he know that he was going to give over the Torah, but it also we know Chazal the Torah told us that the pasuk says in last week's parsha, Eldad u'Medad misnabim b'nach ma'machane. It says that Eldad and Medad were saying nevuah. So what does Rashi bring? Moshe Meis, Yeshua Machnas La'aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die, Yeshua is going to be the one to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. So, since Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Yehoshua ben Nun, or Hoshea ben Nun at that time, was going to be the one that was going to give over the Torah, bring them into Eretz Yisrael, so he was mespalel, he had an extra tefillah for Yeshua, that Yeshua should be Matzliach. Because Yeshua, not for Moshe Rabbeinu, not for him, but for Klal Yisrael, Ko Yeshiacha Me'atzus HaMaraglim, that you, Yeshua, are the one that as the Meisar HaTayra, you give it over, you're going to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, please make sure that you don't, we want to make sure that you don't lose that chance. These Meraglim, we know, the Ramban says, that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tayra, lists the Meraglim, the Nesiim, the Nesiei HaEda, that went to be Meragel, to Eretz Yisrael, they're listed in the order of Cheshivas. Yeshua is number 5. He's not number 1, he's number 5. So he was going with a pretty good pack of gentlemen. Pretty good company. Moshe Rabbeinu knew, Kol Yeshiacha Me'atzus HaMaraglim, because you need to want to give over the Torah. Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes, in Masech Tesavos, Ruach Chaim, he writes, that Moshe Rabbeinu was zoichet to mekabel the Torah because of his anivus. And he gave it to Yeshua, because Yeshua wasn't also an onav. We know, again, that what happened, Yeshua hears that Eldad Medad said, Moshe Meis, Yeshua Machnas La'aretz. What did he say? He didn't say to himself, oh good, I'm going to be in charge. What did he say? Moshe Adonim, Moshe Klayim. I can't accept the fact that you're going to die, I'm going to take Bnei Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Yeshua also had this anivus. Since he knew that he had this anivus, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel, an extra tefillah. Kalev didn't need it. Even if Kalev needed it, but the need for Yeshua was so great because he was the one that was giving over the Torah. He had such great anivus, in order to be able to preserve Yeshua, to give over the Torah correctly, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be mispalel that it shouldn't fall into the hands of the Meraglim. The Kuzner's of Maggid says another third pshat. Like we said, Moshe Meis, Yeshua Machnas La'aretz. So the Kuzner's of Maggid says that since Moshe Rabbeinu saw the anivus and the hishtoikikus that Yeshua had, that Moshe Rabbeinu should stay alive, he came back to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, Moshe Rabbeinu Adoni Moshe Klayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a very legitimate issue, had a very legitimate problem. He had a dilemma. Why? Because Yeshua had already shown his true colors, in a good way, by saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to stay with us. You have to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. Without you, we're not going to get anywhere. Adoni Moshe Klayim, put them into jail. Eldad Umeda, they're saying Narishkeit. Why put them into jail? Why punish them that way? That's a different vart. We could talk about that at a different time, maybe. But it was very evident that Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua was very disturbed by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to be there anymore. We know, the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, that what was the problem with the Meraglim? Why did the Meraglim, one of the reasons why they came back with a bad report, was because the Meraglim said, listen, we're living off of Nisim in the Midbar. When we go to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to have to start working. We're not going to be in Kailul anymore. We have to plant. We have to build. You know, there's a place in Eretz Yisrael called Nes Tziona, or Gedera, one of those Moshavim. So, I think in Nes Tziona, it took them 3 years... Just 3 years in Nes Tziona to take away all the rocks. It took them 3 years to the Moshav, Nes Tziona, just to remove all the rocks. That's what they did for 3 years in the 20s or 30s or whatever it was. I mean, we all know, right? We've lived in Eretz Yisrael, right? I think. But we know living in Eretz Yisrael is not easy. Right? Eretz Yisrael is not easy. And the Meraglim were no fools. These Gedolim were not fools. They knew we're going to lose all these things that we have in the Midbar. We're going to lose them. We're not going to have the man. We're going to have to start working. We're going to have to start plowing and planting and harvesting. So could be Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yeshua, Moshe was afraid that Yeshua koyeh she'achka me'atzah samaraglim. He was afraid Yeshua was going to buy into this whole plan. Why? Because Yeshua said, I don't want you to die, Moshe Rabbeinu. Elda, the Medrash is saying that you're not going to be here, that you're leaving, and I'm going to bring them in. I'm not maskim. That's not for me. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, maybe he'll be part of this miraglim. He'll come back. He'll give a bad report. Therefore, Yeshua will force the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, if such a thing is possible, that he'll have no choice but to have Moshe Rabbeinu bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua, of course, was not going to be against going into Eretz Yisrael. We shouldn't go. But it was a way in order to try to keep Moshe Rabbeinu alive. And we know, the Gemara tells us, that had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash would have never been destroyed, which would have been the worst thing, because Klal Yisrael would have been destroyed in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Beis HaMikdash would not have been destroyed. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that Yeshua is going to come back, he's going to be part of the Meraglim, because he doesn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to die, and he wants Moshe Rabbeinu to take him into Eretz Yisrael. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, call Yoshiacha me'atzis Meraglim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save you from the atzis Meraglim. Yud, he added a Yud, Yehoshua, from Hoshea to Yehoshua. So Zok, the Targum Yerushalmi, Kadchami Moshe Amvesanusei de Yehoshua, right? The Targum Yonison says, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Anivus of Yehoshua, when he said, Adoni Moshe Kloim, that's in the Pasuk, he said, Kol Yeshiacha Me'atzes Meraglim. What's a Yud? A Yud is above everything else. A Yud is above the line. There are Isis below the Mason-Dixon, so to speak, Havdil, and you have Isis that are above. A Yud is above everything. Not only is a Yud above everything, but a Yud stands on its own. Says the Kashan Sir Magid, that Moshe Rabbeinu, why did he name him Yehoshua? He could have named him Behoshua, Gehoshua, Dehoshua, Dehoshea, Vehoshea, right? The Yud is above everything else in order to signify two things. Number one, is that you have to be above everybody, and number two, you have to get over your anivus. You have to outsteig them in this inyan, and you have to outgrow your anivus for this inyan, and not say, hey, look, I'm number five on the list. Maybe I should listen to these gedolim. Anyway, it'll come out good. These gedolim, these meraglim, these tzaddikim, right? They don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. And I have a vested interest in them not going because I want Moshe Rabbeinu to stick around. He should take us into Eretz Yisrael, right? So therefore, I'm going to go along with them. I'll get the best of both worlds. We'll have Moshe Rabbeinu alive. He'll bring us in. I won't have to be in charge because I don't want to be in charge. Right? Who am I already? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yeshua, Ko Hashiach Me'atzis Meraglim, the Yud above the line. The Yud stands by itself, right? A Yud is a pinta, right? Like a Vav has right? All the Isis have legs. A Hey, a Vav, a Beis, a Gimel, right? They all sit. You write them down, they sit on the line, so to speak. A Yud is above the line. A Yud stands on its own. You, Yeshua, have to stand on your own. You have to be above the Atzis Meraglim. So I think that's a very nice pshat. Rashi says something very interesting in our parasha. I want to be miyachis this word to Rabbi Leichter in Eretz Yisrael. I heard this from him many years ago. The Torah tells us that the Meraglim went up, they went into Eretz Yisrael, and the Torah says, I can just find it. Vayashuvu mitor haaretz miketz arboim yoim. Perik Gimel pasuk chafhei. It It says that they came back from touring Eretz Yisrael after 40 days. Says Rashi HaKadosh. Rashi says, "I v'haloy arbo me'eris parasa arbo me'eris parasahi." Eretz Yisrael is 400 parasa by 400 parasa. For lack of a better frame of reference, we'll call it, let's say, a mile. A parasa is more or less a mile. So Moshe, so the it was 400 miles, let's say, by 400 miles. A person walks 10 parsois a day. That should take somebody 40 days from east to west. And not only did they go east to west, but they went up and down, north and south. So says Rashi, a very simple cheshbon, a very simple accounting of how big Eretz Yisrael was, should have been maybe 400 days it should have taken them, or 200 days, whatever. It only took them 40 days. Why did it take them 40 days? Elashagoloi lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyigzar aleihem yom l'shana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that as a result of them coming back to give a bad report, that they're going to be punished. How were they going to be punished? They were going to be punished by Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana. For every day they were in the Midbar, they were in Eretz Yisrael, they had a 1 year punished that they stayed in the Midbar. Therefore, Kitzur Lefneim Es HaDerech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them Kfitzas HaDerech. Okay? So, we all understand this is a famous Rashi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a favor for them, that he cut down the travel time. Instead of it being 10 times more, 8 times more, 5 times, whatever it should have been, it was only 40 days. And they were punished that for the 40 days that they were in Eretz Yisrael, and they had bad intentions, and they came back, and B'nai Yisrael, they bought the lie. So they had an extra, every day, represent a year represented every day for a year, and they were in the Midbar. Good? Okay. Very nice. You know, sometimes, especially when you live in New York, so, you're looking for that parking space. And all of a sudden, that parking space opens up, right? So you say, oh, Baruch Hashem, what a schus. I must have a schus, right? So let's see what Rav Volbe says. Let's see if this is really true. So there's a few of us here. Let's put ourselves into the shoes of the Meraglim. So you're a Meragl. Right? Let's say you're one of these Gedolim, and you go to Eretz Yisrael. You're sent by Moshe Rabbeinu with a very difficult task. Come back and give a report about Eretz Yisrael. Okay, beautiful. Very nice. So now what happens? You go to Eretz Yisrael, and funny things start happening. Number one, you start getting to towns where they have these tremendous anakim, they have these tremendous giants. These people want to squash you to pieces, right? They hated the Jews. Amalek was there, and Kanani and Knezi, and this one, right? These people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, when they go into Eretz Yisrael, you have to kill them. They're bad. They're bad people. What happens? You get to a town, there's a Levaya. What happens? There's a big Levaya. The big, the governor, the president, the mayor, whoever it is, a big rock star died, right? Yeah. Big reality star died. Oh, everybody's at the funeral. Right? You get to Tel Aviv. Whoever it was, some preezy rock star died. Everybody's at the funeral. Oh, good, we can check out Tel Aviv, right? You get up to Haifa, right? Some reality star died. Oh, good, we can go to there. Everybody's at their funeral. Good, good. You go. They get to Be'er Sheva, right? Ha! Right? Some former president, who knows, died. Everybody's at the funeral. So it happens one time, it happens two times, it happens three times, and four times. Every single town they go to, some big guy died, and they're able to go and look at the town, scout it out. Not only that, not only is it every town that they're getting to that they're able to do what they need to do and check it out without going unnoticed, but they're also getting to it in record time, right? All the Meraglim, all of a sudden, they become Olympic track stars. breaking world records, getting from place A to B in 7 seconds, right? Doing the 4 minute, doing the 3 minute mile, the 2 minute mile, the 1 minute mile, going up and down Eretz Yisrael in 40 days on their feet. 10 rabbis with long beards. They were probably pretty conspicuous looking. Yeah? I'm sure the Goyim didn't look the way they did. There's funerals. No one notices them. They're getting from point A to point B very, very quickly. The fruit is tremendously large. They're carrying. So if you're a Meragel, what are you saying to yourself? Rabbi said, what are you saying to yourself? If you're one of the Meragel, what are you saying to yourself? You're saying to yourself, hey, look, God's on my side. It's breaking for me very good. I'm getting all the breaks. I'm getting all the breaks. I'm getting, Hashem is with me. Must be that what? That the fact that I want to say that Eretz Yisrael's Nishta Zegit is not so great. Must be Hashem agrees with me. Must be Hashem is on my side. Look at all these nisim that are happening to me. Look at all these great things that are happening to me. Hashem is mamash handing me, is helping me do what I need to do on a silver platter. How can I not go back and tell a bad report? Hashem is helping me. Says Rav Volbe, Rashi is telling us that when a person thinks that everything is going right for him, it does not necessarily mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with you. And the opposite is true. If everything is going wrong, it does not necessarily mean that everything is going wrong for you. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for you. Without getting into the questions of Bechira, and what's Bechira, and is this predetermined, yes or no, I'll leave that for the philosophers to debate. But from Rashi, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into them, not only did he put it into them, but he convinced them that they were right. He convinced them they were right in order to save Klal Yisrael. So it worked both ways. He helped them do wrong, but he also helped that Klal Yisrael ultimately did not have such a bad punishment as if they would have been able to go in the maximum amount of time it should have taken. Says Rav Volbe, what does this have to do with us? For those of you who remember, I was not alive, but in 1967 there was a tremendous nes in Eretz Yisrael. We won the 6 Day War. So there were those people that said, this is mamash nisim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And then there was a big guddle at the time who said, no, this is the Yetzer Hara, it's a Tzitzit, right? This is a terrible thing. The Satan, right? The truth is that maybe winning the 6 Day War wasn't the greatest thing in the world. Look how much we're civil today, right? Look how much they talk about the territories and how bad the Jews are. They live in the settlements. I'm not saying we shouldn't be there. All I'm saying is, we, at the time, it was. You read, I'm a little bit of a student of history. At the time, you read about how we went to the Kaisel, we got Yerushalayim back, we got the West Bank back, the settlements, everything. Of course, it's beautiful. It's a great thing, right? But look how much pain has come from it. So what's how do we look at it? We look at it as not that it's good or that it's bad or we should have or we shouldn't have. That's not the way to look at something. The way you have to look at something is, we don't know what the Ratz in Hashem is. We don't know what Hashem wants from. Does he like it, so to speak? Does he not like it? We have no idea. We don't know how something is going to turn out 5 years from now, 10 years, and in the case of 67, now it's 48 years later, almost 50. Right? You never know how it's going to turn out. We don't know. Says the Torah, says Rashi, you have to do what the Ratzon Hashem is right now. What's going to happen later on, that's Hashem's issues. That's Hashem's. Hashem will deal with that. We can't go and say, oh, you see that from what's happening, must be that what I'm doing is right. Must be that the actions that I'm taking are correct. No, you can't look at it on the outcome of the of what's going on. You can't look at it as the circumstances of what's going on. We have to take the circumstances, we have to take the facts that are in front of us as we see them. Go to a tzaddik, go to a gadol, get das Torah, and find out if we're doing the right thing or not. Of course, going to war and beating the goyim in 67 was the right thing. But does that mean that it was the best thing for us? If a person goes along and says, you see, we won, it was the best thing that could happen for us. We don't always know what the best thing that happened for us is. We don't know if we should or should. We don't know if this is the best thing. Is this always going to turn out great? That's why you have to do what's important right now. You have to follow the Ratzon Hashem right now. And the Meraglim were deluded into thinking what they were doing was correct. And it turned out that what they were doing was terrible, and it brought tremendous destruction on Klal Yisrael. And people, right, we know that Klal Yisrael, they died every year in the Midbar, and they did not go to Eretz Yisrael for 40 years. So, I leave you that this Vart, from this Vart, is that you never know. You never know. You can't go along and say, I know what the Cheshbon of Shemayim is. I know what Hashem wants. Hashem wants this, Hashem wants that. Our job is to do, and to do what the Ratzon Hashem is. What will be, will be. Okay. The Torah tells us, and with this we're going to end, the Torah tells us at the end of the Parsha, there was somebody called the Mekoshesh Eitzim. Who is the Mekoshesh Eitzim? So, according to one day in the Gemara, the Mekoshesh Eitzim was Tzlafchad. The Torah says in Tetzvav Pei, Vayu v'nei Yisrael b'midbar, Vayimtzu ish Mekoshesh Eitzim b'yemesh Amos. Right? We find a guy who was gathering wood on Shabbos, and we know that being Mekoshesh, Ma'amer, I believe it is, the halacha is that you get Malkus, Mechal Shabbos, he got Malkus. He got Skila, I'm sorry. So the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, why did he do it? So the Gemara tells us because he wanted to teach the Bnei Yisrael the Hilcha Shabbos. He wanted to teach Bnei Yisrael the Chashivas of Shabbos, and to teach the Bnei Yisrael the punishment of somebody who is Mechal Shabbos. So I ask you, how does the Torah know that this person? How does Rashi know? How does the Gemara know that this person was doing it l'shem Shemayim? How do we know he was doing it l'shem Shemayim? How do we know that he was somebody that had good intentions in mind? Maybe he was somebody that was Mechal Shabbos. Who told you that this guy was doing it because he had these noble intentions? So if we look in Parshas Emor, we'll see that there's another Parsha where somebody did an Avera and he was killed. Who's that? That's the Mekalel, right? So what does it say by the Mekalel? It says by the Mekalel, Parshas Emor, the Torah tells us like this. The Torah says, Vayu b'nei Yisrael v'amidbar, I'm sorry, Vayetab Rashal Mashal, Vayetze b'nei Yisrael Yisrael v'hu, V'sayif b'nei Yisrael v'ayinatza b'machne b'nei Yisrael v'isha Yisrael, V'yikai b'nei Yisrael Yisrael s'ashem, V'yikalel, so they didn't know what to do with him. There's two people the Torah says they didn't know what to do with him. These two people, it says that, well, by the Mekoshesh it says put him in jail. By the Mekalel it says put him in jail. They didn't know what to do. So what does it say about the Mekalel? It says, Haitzi Mekalel Mechutz Machane, V'samchu Kol Hashemim. And it says at the end, "Vayetzius haMekalel," right? They took out the Mekalel. We're told his name one time. Shleimus Bastivri. We're told his name. The Torah says his name is his mother, who his mother was, because his mother. Rashi explains why. B'shemimah Shleimus Bastivri leMatigdon. So we know that over here, this Mekalel, he was a bad guy. Oh, he's a Russia. He had terrible intentions. The Mekoshesh, he had good intentions. So how do we know the Mekoshesh had good intentions? And how do we know the Mekalel had bad intentions? So I think, if you look at the Pasuk, it's very meduyik. What does it say by the Mekayshesh? By the Mekayshesh, it says like this. What should we do with him? So the Torah says, and the way they describe him is such. The Torah says, "Vayimtzu ish Mekayshesh Eitzim." They found a person gathering wood. "Vayakrivu Oisai," the Edim who saw him doing it. "Hamaitzim Oisai Mekayshesh Eitzim." That he Oisai, that person who was being Mekayshesh Eitzim. What does it say afterwards? Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Maisumash ha'ish," kill the man in front of everybody, and they took out him and they killed him. What does it say by the Mekalel? By the Mekalel, it says totally different. It says, "Vayanichu b'mishmar lifresh lehem api Hashem vaytabar shalom Moshe lemer hoytzei es ha-mekalel." Take out the cursor. Take him out and kill him. And then it says, they took out the cursor. By the Mekayshesh Eitzim, what does it say when they took him out? They took him out. Why? Because Zuck the Torah, the person who was Mekalel, he's called a Mekalel. That's who he was. He was a Mekalel. He was somebody who was a cursor. He was a blasphemer. Take out the Mekalel. This person, his whole essence is that he cursed, that he's a curse, he's a blasphemer. Not that he blasphemed, not that he cursed, but his essence is that he hates HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore he cursed. But the Mekayshesh Eitzim, it says, "Vayotziu Oisai, Maisumas Ha'ish," doesn't call him that he's a Mekayshesh Eitzim. That's not his essence. His essence is he's a ish that was Mekayshesh Eitzim. He was a ish that did this Avera. Ooh, he was a ish that did this Avera. It must be that he's a ish that did this Avera because he had a reason to do the Avera. He had a cheshbon why he did the Avera. Of course, the cheshbon is not good enough to save his soul. It's not good enough to save him from Misa. But he's the ish hamekayshish eitzim. He's oisai hamekayshish eitzim. He's not hamekalel. He's not the person that cursed. That is the blasphemer. That is the cursor. Oh, totally different parasha here. Totally different, two different people, two different parashas. One is a person who in his essence is a blasphemer, hates HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other is in his essence, he's an oisai. He's a person who's a person. He is what he is. He happened to have been Mekayshesh Eitzim, he happened to have been somebody who did this Avera in order to make a point. A limud that we can learn from this is that a person has to look at himself and figure out, what am I? Who am I? What am I really? Right? Yes, of course, we all go through the motions, hopefully. But we have to also always look at ourselves in the mirror and say, am I this or am I that? Am I authentic? Am I real? Or am I just going through the motions and I happen to be doing what I need to do, but that's not really who I am? We have to always take that hard look at ourselves, right? We know the Chavetz Chaim used to do a cheshbon ha-nefesh every night, right? That's a very big madrega. But the idea is that a person is able to always refocus himself and always remind himself who I really am. What am I? What do I stand for? What's my inside? What am I all about? Yes, maybe sometimes I might do an Avera, maybe sometimes I might speak Lashon Hara, maybe sometimes I might do A, B, or C, but that's not who I am. Who I am is Oisai Ha'ish, is Oisai, is an Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we slip, but the Mekalel, he was a Mekalel, that's who he was. And when he had the opportunity, he blasphemed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why the Torah calls him HaMekalel, you are the blasphemer. Wish everybody a good Shabbos, a gezinten zimmer, and the mitzvah Hashem, we should be zeicha to have the shiur next week in Yerushalayim Rakhayim.
You're listening to another great Torah class, recorded by TorahAnytime.com.